Good evening and welcome to Italian Impact Weekly. I'm your co-host Steve Stefano Mancini.
And this is Claudio Relsano, and we appreciate all of you tuning into the show, and we hope you had a nice Easter.
We did have a nice Easter, Claudio. A lot of people over. How did you do? Did you have a quiet one or a noisy one?
Always quiet. Always quiet. I got enough racket noise going on every single day. The holidays have to be
That family quiet. Sunday dinner, it's out, especially on Easter.
Do you remember in The Sopranos when Tony would try to have something at his house or somebody at his relatives? There's always a fight. Always, you know, something being said. I try to avoid that. But we had a very nice I enjoy cooking. I made a ton of stuff. I said I. It was nice.
Is that on purpose that you said I? Or is that...
Yeah, I enjoy cooking.
Oh, no, that's good. Yeah. I would love to cook. I just, every time I try it, I screw it up. I can do eggs very well. Definitely can do toast. I can make spaghetti. That's pretty much the limits of what I can cook. And anything on a George Foreman grill, I'm pretty good at that.
There you go. I make obviously the ham, and I also make something my mama always used to make, which is fried broccoli with garlic, which is very good. Fried peas with onions, which is very good. My daughter likes deviled eggs, so we made that. Shrimp. I got this from Mario Andretti, the shrimp chardonnay. You marinate with shrimp, basil, and garlic, and then you give it a quick fry the next day. Excellent.
Interesting.
Breaded shrimp. So it was all good.
No, we had kind of a weird, I'll call it an eclectic mix of foods. I mean, we had the traditional ham and all that, you know, and the potatoes and but then we had like paella, was like this rice dish.
I was going to ask you about that, about your wife's.
She went all out with a lot of different dishes. And but I'll tell you, we literally had meat on a stick barbecued, chicken barbecued, ham. Paella, which was not even where she's from. She just saw it on YouTube and said, that looks good. I'm craving it. And it was delicious. I mean, some people just have a gift for cooking. I don't have it. But you know, speaking of gifts, we're going to talk about our next guest because I met her a few weeks ago at one of the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh events. And she was giving dancing lessons, but not just any kind of dance. In fact, she's going to tell us that I'm going to probably get it wrong and tell you she was doing this dance, a tarantella, and she's going to say which one. But before we get into that, let's introduce our guest, Anna Harsh. Anna, how are you?
Hi, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, Anna. Hey, listen, it was funny because Claudio, you know, before we have a guest, and we always like kind of like to do a little, you know, blurb, and I was telling him a little bit about your background, but I'm still thinking back to that tarantella. I mean, I don't know, you really got in my head on that, but we're going to talk about that because that whole regional dance and that there's not one tarantella, I was just blown away. But Anna, before you absolutely blow my mind about the whole number of dances, how about we talk a little bit about you and where you're from? Because obviously your passion for Italian folk does not just come from anywhere. So kind of introduce yourself. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and we'll talk about your ethnicity and heritage here in a minute. After all, we are the Italian Impact Weekly Show, the one and only Italian Impact Weekly Show.
Well, sure. I'm originally from Clarksburg, West Virginia, but then my husband and I moved to Pennsylvania just right before the pandemic hit. We were living in another city in West Virginia, and then, like I said, we moved to Pennsylvania. So that's where we are now. We're in Washington, PA, and love it here. And I grew up, as I told you, and the Calabrian Club as an Italian-American, so I lived two worlds. Living as an Italian, you know, when you go to Nona's house, you're Italian, you speak Italian, you eat Italian food and all of that, and you learn different traditions and cultural celebrations. And then when you come home, you know, to your parents' house or, you know, that are the first generation of Italian Americans, you know, you speak English and you do more American things. So as I'm the second generation now living and left living in my family, everybody else has passed away. So it's time to preserve some of this heritage and traditions that are no longer passed down.
What were some of the traditions that were instilled in you that you're passing down? I talked earlier about some of the food that my mom used to cook that I'm teaching my daughter, or I've taught my daughter, and she will pass that down. What were some of the things that were passed on to you?
Sure. Cooking, of course. Baking, of course. But these dances and music, the songs, you know, those are things that we did at every family dinner, celebrations, events. And so I think I'm one of the few people in the United States that still have those authentic steps, authentic dances, and not just from one region, but several regions.
Now, when Steve told me about your background in the food department, let's just say with the Italian sausage, it's cooked differently or prepared, made differently in the north than it is in the south, okay? And of course, the language, the dialects are different. The dance dialect, pardon the expression there, are there different, you said different regionally, is it different dances in the south and the north, or like where I'm from, Calabria, is there different from different dances from different towns? How does that work?
Yes, each region will have a traditional dance. And only 7 of the southern regions of Italy will do a type of tarantella. It's a genre of dance. So there's many variations, and they can have small, intricate movements that might be really distinct to a certain town or village.
Well, let me ask you this then. Is it, you kind of said something, different territories, different regions. Is it more, is one more favoring the hand movement? Because I've seen some dances where they do more of the hand gestures, and some more the feet.
Exactly. Exactly. So they might have different rhythms, slightly different, or do one or two different moves of the footwork, or maybe they do something different with their partner in the center of the circle.
All right. Now let's talk about this. Let's go back, because you said you were one of the first, your family did it kind of more traditionally. So your family, I guess it was your grandmother who was Italian. What region was she from, and what was the first dance you learned with her?
Well, I have all 4 grandparents are from Calabria.
What part?
So really further south. Like, I still have family that live in Crotone.
Okay.
And then some people came from Catanzaro.
Yeah, well, yeah, mine is from Falerno, which is Catanzaro, and Nocera. I don't know if you heard of those. Nocera Ternese,
yes.
And Falerno. Okay.
Yes. And then I have a grandfather that came from San Giovanni in Fiore.
Okay, good, good.
So throw a town out there that we probably haven't heard of in somehow, especially Claudio knows. I think he knows everybody's relative that immigrated from Calabria now. I think it's official, because every time we're on the show and they say, where are you from, Calabria? And they say, oh, town XYZ, some small 1,200 people. And, oh, I know my neighbor's cousin's uncle's friend's from that town. So.
Well, I talk to my aunt my uncle moved from Nocera Ternese to Milano years ago, right?
Wow.
But my aunt still lives there. Now, my family from Falerno, on my dad's side, they have all passed. But mm-hmm. I ask my aunt all the time, do you know this family? Oh, yeah, I know this one. So that's where...
Oh, that's like, small. It's a small world. Yeah. Now, Anna, let's go back, though. So where was some of the first... Based on from your family's or origins, what were some of the first dances you learned from what area of Calabria?
Well, of course, from Calabria, I learned just the basic tarantella from Calabria.
Okay.
So 2 men usually start that dance, and then one man will bring a woman to bring into the center of the circle to dance with the other man, and then they start breaking off and bringing people into the center. 2 at a time as partners to show off these moves while the rest of the community just circles around them.
Now, did you guys actually do this when you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely.
So was it like a weekly thing or was it a holiday thing? Like, I'm curious because
my family
did not dance, for the record. We did not have a call traditional.
Well, I found out that on my mother's side, for the last 500 years, in my genealogy, someone has been an artist, musician, dancer, painter, sculptor, writer. So I don't think there's many choices to not dance.
So this was obviously a passion that was instilled in you at a young age then. So you just enjoyed it. And now at what point did you, because like I said, we're going to get to your books here in a little bit, because there's a lot more to you than we're kind of leading on here for our listeners. But you obviously at some point you developed a passion for this. Was the passion just because, wow, I like the dances, or was the passion more because it was just kind of kept you, you know, connected to your family roots, if you will, or maybe a little of both?
I think it was a combination of both. You know, dance is very passionate, and I enjoyed dancing in general. This was just a type of dance that I got into because of family. And then I studied dance formally, you know, as maybe as a age of 4 years old, and then joined a ballet company professionally in high school, and then went on to college for dance and received a degree in dance, you know, studying all forms of dance, ballet, jazz, modern, tap, ballroom, contemporary, and folk dance in general was something of interest to me, of all cultures, because it told a story and how the people of that certain culture or place behaved or loved or what they believed in.
Now, when did you realize, and let's kind of, I don't want to jump forward a little bit, but you were studying dance. It was kind of, obviously it was a passion for you. You did it growing up, but when was there this realization that, hey, by the way, this is being forgotten and I'm going to preserve it, because that's going to ultimately, it's going to lead you to the books and to what you do now. But when was this realization that you felt like, I need to not forget what I'd been, you know, doing when I was a kid? Otherwise, you know, there's not a lot of people doing this. When did that happen and how did that happen?
Yeah, I think as I saw grandparents disappearing, you know, aunts and uncles passing on, and you're looking around, you're like, I'm the only person doing this dance now. So I think that's when, you know, come to the realization that you need to pick up the pieces and keep it moving forward.
Now, let me ask you, in the States, there are new dances kind of being invented. They become fads almost, but then again, there's always a new step, a new move. Are you looking for new dances to teach, to do, or you just stick to the older stuff?
Well, it depends on what genre of dance you're talking about. If it's for Italian folk dance, I keep to the authenticity of it so we can preserve it and so that people can understand where it came from and why it came about. Each dance has a story for the Italian dances. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about ballet per se, a lot of contemporary movement is becoming into the genre of ballet. So as a choreographer, when I'm creating something for a studio or a company or my own company, it just depends on the genre.
Now let's talk about that, because, you know, when you're preserving a historical dance, at one point that was either a brand new dance in and of itself, which did not change, or it evolved over time. Do you, as you continue to do your research, do you discover that actually this, you know, and we're mostly focusing on just the traditional Italian folk dances for the purpose of this conversation.
Right.
But did you find that there were actually what I'm going to call, you know, precursors to this that are, I don't want to say forgotten, but maybe they are forgotten, or even fewer people do that, or you have to go to this one little small town in Calabria and they're still doing this dance, which ultimately morphed into this dance, and now we're doing this dance. So how do you know that you're preserving the, what I want to call the original dance versus a modification of the original dance? And what are the original dances, and how do you know those are the originals?
Right. So much of the research is about talking to different various teachers in different regions in the South. Like maybe Calabria, and then I have another teacher in Puglia, and then I have another teacher, you know, in Naples, in the Campania region. So I can compare notes and find out that they're all teaching sort of the same steps, but variations according to their specific tarantella.
Now, do you actually go to Calabria a lot? How often do you go down there and visit?
I go every so many years. As you know, it's very expensive.
Well, getting there and to and from, but it's once you're there, if you know the right places and you can speak Italian.
Right. I still have family there.
Right. I tell you what, it's, you know, it's funny because I'm going to go on a tangent here. But one thing, Calabria really is a missed jewel for a lot of tourists, because they want to go to the big cities, or they want to go somewhere where it's easy to get to. They're not willing to get, say, on a bus. When I go down to Calabria, I visit relatives in the town, there's no airport nearby. So when you're getting down there, you can take the train, you know, or you can get the bus.
Right.
But the train only goes to certain stops, or you can take the bus. So I do the bus, or they call it a Pullman or an Autobus or whatever you want to call, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we get down there that way, and it's not expensive, but I will definitely agree it's not convenient. I mean, it's like you're taking a day to travel. Like if you're going from Rome to Calabria and you're taking the bus, you're figuring 6 hours.
Right. This past trip, I just got back in October, and we took a train from Naples to Lamezia. So we took a train straight down.
Yeah, that's
so I could see one set of family members in Naples and then travel down to Lamezia. Then we got a driver to take me to my cousin's house because it's so remote, they don't have an address.
That's where I want to live, for the record. I mean, if anybody's listening and wants to go fund me to get the heck out of here and go live in a town where there's no address, I am begging you.
This is why I sell books.
We're going to talk about that in 1 second, but I want to go back to something. Because you know what? You have relatives in Italy. I've got relatives in Italy. Claudio's got relatives in India. India. Welcome.
Where'd
welcome.
You say?
India. Claudio has relatives in India and Italy. But in all seriousness, one thing, you know, a lot of Americans, we don't actually, I won't say that. It just depends on the area, because there are some, you know, American cultures that will dance at a family event. But a lot of Americans, they're not going to do that. But in Italy, they're not afraid to do that. They're not afraid to get up there and dance and have a good time. So when you go down there, do you still see the same dances that your grandparents were doing, or are they a little different?
No, it's exactly the same as I remembered it as a child.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you just join right in.
Yeah. In fact, at my cousin's house, after we had, you know, a little snack or dinner or whatever, my youngest cousin that I just met, who's 5, couldn't wait to get her tambourine to show me so we could all dance together.
Ah, that's nice. That's
nice.
So it was 3 generations dancing in their kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's the same steps.
You know, for some reason, I don't think Italians get any. I mean, they are connected to food and paintings and art, stuff like that. But you don't hear too much about the dance, so that's good that you are bringing.
There's a lot of passion in those communities, and dance is to me an expression of passion.
It sure is. Now, Steve has mentioned a few times about you being an author. Tell us about your books.
Yeah, so over the pandemic, I wrote 2 books. It's basically a memoir that's broken up into 2 parts. The first book is called La Danza, Conflict, Passion, and Healing. So those were the themes that I recognized that the Tarantellas were about. So the first book is about the Tarantellas, Southern culture in Italy, how I discovered these dances, who I studied with, a little bit of a travel guide, and as well as how I started my dance company, Allegro Dance Company.
Why have I've heard that before, the Allegro Dance
Allegro?
Company. Yeah.
Good.
Where have I heard that at?
Probably in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Anyway, no. I'm sorry. Go ahead. As soon as you said that, there was something.
All right, so the second book.
Second book.
And the second book is called The Italian Dance Quest: Finding Power, Wealth, and Innovation. Mm. So it talks about central Italy, their dances, and then you travel further north to the top of the boot, and how it's quite different from the south.
Now, is it hard to write a book about dance? I mean, usually that's more for the eyes.
Yes and no. There are a lot of photos in there, as well as a very detailed description of step-by-step, a little bit of how to do these dances, but why the dances exist. So you get an insider's view of the history of the dances, why they exist today, and what can they teach us for the future.
Now, what was your inspiration to start the books? Because you've been out there teaching for a long time.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, to Claudio's point, I'm not saying you can't learn things like dancing, which is more, I think it's more experiential, but you know, obviously you can learn things from a book. But what was the what was the impetus to kick you over? Said, you know what, I'm going to put a book. Besides COVID having nothing left to do or nothing to do like the rest of us, but what else encouraged you to write that book?
Well, when I did my college thesis project, graduating with my undergraduate degree in dance, I realized that there were no books here in the United States about Italian folk dance at all. And so here we are 30 some years later, and there are still no books about Italian dance in the libraries, in a bookstore here in the United States. So it was one of the things that I'm using now today to preserve the dances for the future.
And how is it being received? Are you getting more traffic than you thought, more interest than you thought it would, for it?
Yes, there are lots of colleges across the United States. Their dance departments are devouring these books because there's nothing for them to refer to. So these are their books now. So, and so I do a lot of workshops for dance departments via Zoom or in person.
So it seems like you are starting to be, if not already, the go-to person. Am I right? At the risk of sounding, whatever about it, confidence, I should say. Okay, good.
Yeah, well, which is kind of scary.
Well, yeah, because the responsibility is in your lap.
Exactly.
But you know what, though? I would say, like whenever I talk about hitting, I know what I'm talking about with hitting, very much so. So I'll take the responsibility of saying whatever it is I say because I know it's the right thing. Are there people in your world or in your lane that you look at? Like I've been overly critical. I coach baseball. I know you don't know that. I coach baseball. So I've been critical of coaches, okay? Some say too critical, but that's okay.
You?
But are there people in your world, your dance world, that you say to yourself, no, that's not right. This is the way it's supposed to be or explained or so on and so forth. Did you find that or not really?
Yeah, I do find a lot of groups across the United States that are choreographing to Italian music, but they're not doing authentic steps or telling the right stories. Now, what I usually say to those groups, I'd be glad to offer my expertise, my research, to help you perform at a better level.
And how do they accept that? Or, like I said, there are some coaches, and I do understand this, that don't want me to work with their
right.
players, because if the kid shows improvement, you know, it's like you buying a dog, but you bark. You know, you got the job as a head coach, but somebody else is, fixing him. So are they willing to listen to you and improve, or they maybe take offense to it and say, hey, you do your thing and I'll do mine?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. You know, there are dancers out there that can't wait to receive new information and constantly want to improve. And then there's others. And I'm not sure why they want to still do the same thing when they're not going to go anywhere with it.
Yeah, I guess that'll be the question to ask. What's the end game? Would be entertainment ultimately.
Exactly.
So if I'm a group out of, I don't know, let's just say Cleveland, and you know, we're a bunch of young, you know, Italian Americans, and we're really excited, and you know, somebody throws in some Italian folk music, and we start doing some kind of dance to it. It's okay to say, hey, that's the Cleveland Tarantella, got it, but don't call it authentic Calabrian.
Exactly.
Italian-American.
Right.
And I think people just got to understand that. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with, traditions and culture. I mean, things didn't start out where they were. They evolved over time. So, in other words, the traditions you know from your grandparents are probably a little different than the traditions your grandparents know from their grandparents, which are probably a little different than they do. Everything evolves. So there's nothing wrong with that, but I like the idea of you saying, look, this is the one that was in this region, this little town area in Calabria. They traditionally dance this way. Because you also said something else. If you say Italian music, even if you said a traditional Italian music, I would say, from where? What kind?
Exactly.
Because it's not all the same. I mean, what's folk music in Sicilia is different, or in Sicily. I'm really off today. Sicilia is what I was going to say. In Sicily is very different than Calabria. It's very different than Lombardia. It's very different than Abruzzo, et cetera. So it's all going to be a little different. And I think what a lot of people got to understand is, like, it wasn't until the mid-1800s when it became Italy as we know it, as far as a united country, which means you had places like France controlling some areas, the Spanish controlling some areas, the Vatican. So they all had, they brought their culture. And I'll tell you one reason why I say that is, when I see a lot of things in Calabria, it's very similar. The folk music, the sounds, it's very similar than what I would hear something in, say, Mexico or certain parts of South America. Very similar. Because it's the Spanish influence, ultimately. Yes, there's Italian there, but there's also, you know, they were obviously influenced by people that were in charge for hundreds of years. So you can't escape that. So, you know, your thoughts, because I'm sure you're having learned dance, I'm sure you can see that there's overlap from different areas. From a greater influence.
Yeah, I mean, some of the dances that I have found or have learned and researched are over 2,000 years old. So before Italy was Italy, and has very much Greek influence or Turkish influence. So I just want people to have a broader understanding and perspective of the history of it, and that knowing what you see at festivals in small towns are more likely Italian-American.
In the States, obviously, right.
Yeah, in the United States. But when you go to Italy, it's quite different. They're doing authentic steps in the authentic, you know, order, let's just say, in a circle or in a semicircle. Now, when you travel to the north, those dances did have a lot of influences from France, Switzerland, Germany. And they do not do tarantellas. They do waltzes, polkas, line dances, social dances that represented regalness. So you're talking about a different time frame as well.
Right. No, absolutely right. Now, do you talk a lot about that in your books?
Yes. The second book talks a lot about kings and queens and the lines that they would make in these dances. Where you stand in line matters. And how important you were to the king and queen.
Interesting. I've actually, I'm actually familiar with that, because that's when they would line them up. And yeah, it's funny because, and again, you had monarchies obviously in Italy, so they're going to, you know, they're going to adhere to the very same standards. I mean, that doesn't matter whether you're in France, to your point, whether you're in France, Spain, England, or Italy, the monarch had a certain way of doing things, and heck, half of them were related anyway, so you knew that they were carrying on their family traditions.
Yeah.
Anna, let's talk a little bit about where can folks go to learn more. If folks are interested in either buying the books or maybe even, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because you did it for us at the Calabria Club, you actually offer lessons. You'll do it for groups or individuals. So let's talk about where can folks learn more about you, your books, and where can they sign up and learn more about how they can get lessons?
Sure. The lessons are at annaharsh.com. So you can go to my website. You can book a private lesson. You can choose your time, the day, or you can message me through that website and say, hey, I would like you to come to my dance studio or community center to teach these dances to you. And of course, I offer other styles of dance, but my expertise is in this because of the research.
Okay.
Now, but I teach ballet and jazz and all of those things.
Now, where can folks go find the books? And what are the books called again?
The first book is called La Danza, Conflict, Passion, and Healing. And then the second book is called The Italian Dance Quest, Finding Power, Wealth, and Innovation.
Awesome.
You can also go to my website and buy them through myself, Amazon, your local bookstore, or request it to your local library.
Fantastic. All right, Anna, listen, we want to thank you again for your time today, and I'm going to go check out your website. I've seen you in action at the Calabria Club. You taught us a few things. I'm not ready to go public yet with my dance moves, but who knows, after maybe about 100 more lessons, I might actually try it sometime. Claudio, again, Claudio and I want to thank you again for spending time with us.
Yes, thank you, Anna.
And folks, go out to our website. That's annaharsh.com. you want to book her, if you got a different clubs looking for some kind of entertainment, like, we loved it because we brought her out there at one of our meetings. And after the meeting was over, we had a bunch of, you know, we had a lot of folks there for it, which was wonderful. You know, we had food and we had dance. We had authentic dance, and Anna kind of led it for us, and we actually had a wonderful time. And Anna, I actually appreciate that time because you showed me a few things, and a lot of our folks got into it. So it was fun. It was a good time. So Anna, once again, thank you very much for your time, and we're looking forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much. It was an honor.
Awesome.
Thank you, Anna.
All right. Folks, thank you. Deep angle. All right, once again, Anna, thank you very much for your time. And before we sign off, Claudia, we've got to pay the bills, so all yours.
Remember, you can hear all of our shows on www.italianimpactweekly.com and www.crsmedia.com. And hear such great guests as Mario Andretti, Vince Ferragamo, Vince Papali, Chris Corciani, as well as many successful businessmen and women in the Italian community. If you're looking to promote your business, please connect with us at questions@ItalianImpactWeekly.com, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, let us know. We will have you on. Not only can we air your commercials, but we can produce one for you as well. We promise to get you as much publicity as we can at a great price. Don't forget about my show, The Claudio Relsano Show, which you can hear on ClaudioRelsano.com. And here are such great guests as Rocky Blyer, Jim Rooker, Sid Bream, Dick Vermeil, Ken Griffey Sr., Robin Cole, Vinny Pazienza, Jerry Cooney, as well as many others. My book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Positive Winning Culture on the Field and in the Office. Get that at my website or Barnes & Noble, Robinson Township, BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. And my new show with John Prado, Major League Baseball writer, and myself, we do a show called Real Baseball Talk. You can check that show out at CRSMmedia.com and soon to be a website, which I will tell you about.
Thanks to Greater Pittsburgh Travel. For any of your travel needs, let Tom and the team at Greater Pittsburgh Travel know, and they'll take care of you. For more information, call 412-331-2244 or visit their website at www.greaterpittsburghtravel.com. For all of your plumbing needs, be sure to try Pellucci Plumbing. Nick and the team have decades of experience and will get you back up and running. For more information, call Pellucci Plumbing at 412-782-5050. And we want to thank the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. If you're interested in learning more, you can find their contact information on Facebook at Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. Again, thanks Domenica and the team at the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh for your support. And we want to thank La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei, the only nonprofit school in Pittsburgh endorsed by the Italian Consulate. If you're interested in learning Italian or have your children being immersed in the Italian culture and language, be sure to give them a call at 412-404-7070. And that's La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei. We'd also like to thank Chris Gonzalez from the Knights of Columbus. If you have any questions about joining the Knights of Columbus, reach out to Chris Gonzalez at 412-605-9074. All right. Thanks, Claudio. And by the way, folks, for the CRSMmedia.com, we just want to say that we are starting to put more shows up there. If you're interested in, you know, we can promote your show. So granted, you can put it on other places. We get it. But when you work with us, we're not only just giving you a place to have your show, we're also, you know, going to work with you to promote it.
One-stop shop.
Right, exactly. It's one-stop shop, and it's very, very reasonable. I'm going to tell you right now, what we're doing, you know, when we first started getting started in doing this, I mean, folks want to nickel and dime you, and that's just not what we're about. We're going to give you a place to help promote your show, work with you, get it all set up, get it out to all the major streaming services, and then on our shows, we're going to start promoting your show. So everybody that's listening to us is also going to be listening to you. And any one of our shows, they're going to be listening to you. So if you're interested in learning more, please email us at questions@ItalianImpactWeekly.com. And again, the site, CRSMmedia.com, just to kind of get an idea of what we're doing so far. But we're going to be growing that very shortly, and we're looking to include others coming along with us. So appreciate it. And Claudia, I want to give you last words. I know you wanted to talk about one more thing before
we sign off. The Let's Party for KC Golf event hosted by Kennedy Catholic Family of Schools. An unbelievable school, great people. I did a speaking engagement there about a month or so ago. Wonderful people. But May 18th at 9 a.m., a shotgun start will be held at Tam O'Shanter Golf Course. Tam O'Shanter is located at 2961 South Hermitage Road in Hermitage, Pennsylvania. Only $125 per player. Please contact Maria Metters at 330-559-8891. Tell them where you heard it from, and I'll be there for sure. And again, only $125. Great event for Kennedy Catholic Schools. Hope to see you there.
I would love to be there. I can't golf.
Yeah, I was hoping.
I can't golf.
We're not going to be here, though, right?
What's the? Yeah, no, that's right. I'm out of town, but I can't golf anyway.
Yeah, so
I
just, be fun. Yeah. You get to see more of the course.
That's what I want. I wouldn't mind being the caddy, though. I just want to critique somebody. That's my goal. I want to be a.
You know, one time, speaking of critiquing, years ago, I got to tell this story. Two stories. It was a Swickley Heights Country Club. It was a seniors tour. I forgot what year, maybe 94, 95, 93. And Arnold Palmer was taking some warm-ups. And this guy's behind him with his hand on his chin. And Arnold took a swing. And he goes, "That's the one, Arnold. Maybe if you followed through a little bit better." And I'm saying, and this guy, and Arnold Palmer looked at him, winked at him, and gave him a thumbs up, right?
Then I got always a class act.
Then I got to say, always. A friend of mine absolutely idolized Lee Trevino. Loved Lee Trevino, right? So he volunteered to be a marshal, like you hold the sign. His was the quiet sign, right? Okay. So we are at one of the holes, seventh hole. And I told my friend, "Here comes Lee Trevino." So my friend, you know, straightened himself up and everything like that. He goes, and Trevino was talking to people as you figured he would. So here comes Trevino. And my friend says, "Hello, Mr. Trevino." Nothing. Okay, he puts his tee down, puts the ball on. "Good luck, Mr. Trevino." Nothing. Bangs the ball. "Good hit, Mr. Trevino." Nothing. "Good seeing you, Mr. Trevino." Nothing. "Best of luck the rest of the tournament, Mr. Trevino." Nothing. Same tone of voice, same nice compliments. I'd say 15, 20 yards away, "F you, Mr. Trevino," and I lost it because it was the same. "Hello, Mr. Trevino. Good luck, Mr. Trevino. Great hit, Mr. Trevino. F you, Mr. Trevino." And you know who got in trouble with me? Everybody looked at me and they got mad at me because I laughed. They didn't say anything to him. And he was one holding the quiet side.
Why didn't he answer him?
I don't know. I have no idea. But he was nice on the way there. No, people weren't asking for autographs, but he commented on somebody's hat and somebody.
But you're holding the quiet sign. Maybe that's why he wasn't saying
it. Well,
anything.
He wasn't holding. Yeah, right. That's pretty good. But it was the funniest damn thing. And my friend was just straight deadpan. Good luck. Good
guess
to
he didn't
see
like Lee Trevino after that.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's
but
that's
it was
funny.
It was fun. It was fun. But yeah, everybody likes to critique somebody else. And really, you think about it, a lot of. Everybody has different now. Right. I don't watch it as much, but the old timers, the Chichi Rodriguez, my favorites were Daly. I like Mickelson, Greg Norman, guys like that. But everybody has their own thing,
right.
Whatever works. But everybody now wants the cookie cutter. But yeah, when that guy told Arnold Palmer, and you know what else I heard about Arnold Palmer? Every single letter that he ever received is in Latrobe at a warehouse, and he always wrote people back.
Wow,
unbelievable. And he always made sure, he told other celebrities, when you're asked for your autograph, don't just scribble it. Write it neatly. What a guy. What a guy.
That's classy. And you know what? And their reputation follows them well beyond the grave.
And
that speaks volumes.
That's right. And he made zillions because of who he was, the type of person he was. And you're right. He's been gone. You know, he's still like, I think, top five golf earner, you know, outside of – you know, the business
the
end
name,
of it.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it speaks volumes
sure
again.
Does.
Once again, I want to thank our guest, Anna Hirsch. And again, if you're interested, go learn more about traditional Italian dancing. Go out and check her at annahirsch.com. Claudio, as always, I give you the last word.
We appreciate all of you listening. Thank you so much. And as always, thank you, Mom and Pop.